Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. Right now we're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 25 that we're doing today. So let's everyone go up to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this chapter. Father, we thank and praise your holy name because you're a God that talks and you're a God that listens. You're a God of communication. And Lord, we thank that you allow us to communicate with you and that you talk back to us. What an incredible thing it is for me, because you know very well, Lord, that I never even believed that you existed before. And when you talked to me that time in an office in Beverly Hills, approximately maybe a little over 40 years ago, it was just the most astounding thing to me in the world, that there's really you sitting in the heavens and that you really do talk. You really do communicate. And Lord, I was communicating with you finally when I realized that I wasn't crazy. I would pray, Lord, that you'll let the words from this chapter communicate to the people of this world, to every hearer of this chapter and all the other chapters in your word, so that it will instill faith into them, because we're saved by faith and we're damned by doubt, and we're healed by faith and we're not healed at all without the faith. Lord, your word creates faith in our spirits, in our hearts, in our souls. And Lord, let faith be in us so that we will not have to spend eternity in the other place. Lord, we ask this, and also in the name of Jesus, Lord, and give us the power to stand another day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right.
Exodus chapter 25, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them.
Gold. Isn't this amazing how the Lord is just telling telling Moses exactly what to do? And then we get to read the words that the Lord said to Moses. And here he's telling Moses what kind of offerings will please him in the Old Testament here. And so he's saying, what will please him? Gold, silver, and what else?
And brass.
Brass will please the Lord if you give him brass. Then what?
And blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair.
He's talking about yarn and colored linen, you know, and goat's hair. He wants all these things, not because he needs them. God put all the gold, the silver, the gems, and the goats and everything that is here on earth. He doesn't need money. He knows where all the gold is. And, you know, who knows if you had got a hold of the Lord, and he could tell people where gold is and hidden treasures and everything. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing why people don't want to get a hold of the Lord? And more than that, you know, you got eternal life. Life in a place that the streets are paved with gold. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so what else? Because he wants all these supplies here to build a tabernacle for him to come into and show his glory in while they're out there on the desert, in the wilderness. All right, go ahead.
Verse 5, and ram's skins
dyed red. He wants ram skin. This is to build the tabernacle. Okay, then what else? The covering of it. Anyone else?
Ram skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate.
So, you know, I used to design clothing for the movie stars, and I had all kinds of rhinestones in here, and you see that the Lord has 12 different gemstones set in the clothing of the high priests, of the priests in those days. Amen?
Amen.
And actually, the Lord is really a God of glitz. The New Jerusalem, the foundation of it, is made out of 12 layers of different precious stones. Amen?
Amen.
And like I said before, God put all the gold and silver and precious stones, the glitz, the stars in the sky, the sun, the moon. He's a glitzy God. Amen?
Amen.
And every kind of flower, every kind of color, rainbows. I mean, this, let's face it, God is really a very colorful God. Amen?
Amen.
And some of his people walk around with these gray, dull-looking suits on and everything, and they just don't think that they're supposed to be like God. I'm not ashamed to wear glitz, you know, now and then, because my God is glitzy. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so then what?
Verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them.
So that's what he's saying right there, is I want all this stuff so that you can build a sanctuary that I can come in and dwell in. Because back then, in the Old Testament days, God didn't dwell in human bodies. We are the temples of God now, and he doesn't any longer build temples of gold and silver and stones and badger skins and linen and all these different things, or he doesn't make clothing out of that sort of stuff. Now he wants us to be clothed with righteousness and be clothed in the Spirit. It's a lot different today than it was in the Old Testament. So let's keep going.
According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold.
This is the Ark of the Covenant, okay? Then what?
Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about.
Okay, so now we do translation here.
Translation verses 1 through 11. Offerings for the tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel that everyone who wants to may bring me an offering. Here is a list of the items you may accept on my behalf. Gold, silver, and bronze.
Here are the items that you may accept that I want. I want certain things. If I'm giving you eternal life, if I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, if I'm giving you food, clothes, water, everything for your life, I want you to give something back, all right? I want these things so that we can build a tabernacle so I can come down and you can see my glory, the Shekinah glory. And that way you can get more faith, a place for people to come and hear my word so that they can have faith, all right? Mm-hmm. And see me in action, is what the Lord is saying. Then what? So here's the items that that you may offer to me. Go ahead.
Verse 4. Blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair for cloth, tanned ram skins, and fine goat skin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamp.
See, goat skin is a very, very precious thing. One of our best sellers at the Alamo of Nashville was I had the number one store in the world, where all the movie stars would come, most of them would come, and recording stars. And one of the best boots that people really had the money for, it was tan Domingo goat. That's very soft leather. It says fine goat. Amen?
Amen.
So that's, I know what he's talking about, these different skins, because I used to go to New York and Los Angeles to the warehouses where they keep the skins and personally pick out the finest of skins and leathers for clothing that I'd make and boots that I'd have made to sell, because my clients were some of the most wealthiest people in the world, such as King Faisal and the Queen, and the Sultan of Brunei, supposedly one of the richest men in the world, and King Alfred Bongo and his son, and the queens, and their princes and princesses, and your top movie stars, you know, very rich people. And they wanted the best, and the Lord wants the best. So how much more do we want to give the best to the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
And so I know what quality things are. A lot of people have never even seen the things that are the best in the world. And if people wanted to see the best in Nashville, they'd have to come to my store. Because I'd ask people on the radio, have you ever owned anything that is the best in the world? Or for that matter, have you ever seen anything that is the best in the world? Or ever touched anything that is the best? If not, come into the Alamo of Nashville, and you can see it and touch it in there. And really, you can, if you have the wherewithal, you can buy it. And help and I wouldn't say and help finance the ministry, but that's where the money went, was to the ministry. And that's why people know this throughout the entire world, is because we didn't spend it on ourselves. We got the gospel out. And there isn't a person that I know of that knows me that won't tell you that we really got the gospel out in our lifetime. Okay? We're movers and shakers with the gospel. We're full into the gospel. Now, I'm glad I don't have the store anymore because it just took too much of my time away from the gospel. But nevertheless, it's part of my past. And the Lord put it on my heart to talk about it today. Now we're going to do TV and radio. And we're going back on TV. We were 10 years on, or a little more than 10 years on national television. We even went into Canada, Mexico, and to Haiti and places like that. But now I want a satellite. I want a satellite. 24-hour network. And to put real wholesome truth and not allow anyone on there that I don't believe their God, that isn't 100% scriptural with the Bible. All right? So let's everything. I love everything that's quality, and especially the gospel. I can't stand any false doctrine whatsoever. If you want to know me, Tony Alamo, know that I'm for quality, especially in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm, because this has to do with people's human souls and where they're going to spend eternity. And it's got to be pure. It's got to be the finest. And only God is the finest. And when he's talking about gold and silver and fine goat skins and things like this, God put all that here. You know? He has also put the spirit of artistry in different people that know how to make good things of the good things of the Lord. And that's what I like. I don't like anything that's shoddy or half done or anything that is, you know, everything has to be first quality. Especially, you know, if I'm going to do something with and take my time to do something, I want my reputation to be that, you know, it was done well. And any true Christian, I believe that that's the way you are. You know, every true Christian, the Word of God is perfect, and we have to get it out in the Spirit. That means perfection. And anyone tells you that there's no such thing as being ye perfect, they don't know the Lord. They don't know him well enough. They need to mature and realize that in the Spirit you can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can be perfect. When the Lord says all things, that means you can be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
When he says we are more than conquerors, that means we can conquer our own flesh and our own desires and our own feelings, you know, our ridiculous feelings, feelings that are of no value whatsoever. We can be perfect. We can be holy. We can be more than that. We can be perfect. Amen? More than conquerors. What does more than a conqueror mean? That means we can be one with Christ. Amen? A member of actual Christ's body. And do you think that God is going to let us be a member of Christ's body if we're not perfect? Wake up, okay? Don't believe any such foolishness as that. You are perfect in the Spirit. Okay, now let's go.
Verse 6. olive oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil.
See, the Lord made the olive oil. Amen. The olives and the spices, everything. God is good. He gives us everything. You know? Some of these people that I hired to make all these beautiful things, they don't get the glory for it. If they know how to do it, God even gave them the talent to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So we all have talents, and let's use them for the Lord, though. All right? Then what?
And the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and other stones to be set in the ephod, and the chest piece. Quote, I want the people of Israel to build me a sacred residence where I can live among them.
Now, know ye not that we are the sacred residence of the Lord, and we are not our own? Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, when it talks in the Bible about the devil is going to come and sit down in the holy temple of the Lord. And then in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, it talks about that don't be deceived by as to the day of the coming of the Lord, because that won't happen until the devil starts moving into a bunch of people that are the temple of God, until there be a big falling away, and that means a falling away from the Lord, and that Satan enters into people, into the holy temple of God, and then says that he's God. In other words, they become antichrist and start working for the devil, Satan, rather than the Lord. And we see that today. You see a big, what seems seemingly it looks like a revival, but there's so much false doctrine and sinful talking of these preachers, and the people are flocking by the hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions to them, to where it's such a big group of people that it's a great falling away, because they're saying things that are contrary to the Word of God, that you can't be perfect, that God just loves you unconditionally. No, with God, everything is conditional. I've said this before many times, that the Lord is conditional. If you do this, then I will do that. If means there's conditions. Amen? And if you don't do this, then I'm going to curse you. And I'm going to curse your children, the fruit of your body. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse your pocketbook. I'm going to curse your food, your land. I'm going to curse you in so many different ways. And these ways are all in the Old Testament, and we're going to be getting to those scriptures. So God doesn't love you or me unconditionally. He wants us to do a work. And then people are saying, no, the Lord did all the work. And any that we don't boast. Yeah, the Lord lives in us. We're the holy temple of the Lord. And he does the work with us. He says, now go and sin no more and take up your cross and follow me. And he tells Paul, or Paul tells us, by the Spirit, he says, woe be unto me if I don't work. He doesn't say work. He says, if I don't preach this gospel, if I don't do the walk in the Spirit. Okay, there's a work that the Lord wants to do in us. And the Lord doesn't work without being in a temple. And we are the only temple. The whole Christian world is being told that they're going to erect a new temple, a new holy temple of God in Israel. Can't you see how false that doctrine is? There's no holy temple made with the hands of man, or by men or women or anybody, that God, that we are the temple of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we don't belong to ourselves. When we say, yes, Lord, we are sacrificing our lives unto you, then our body is God's temple. We belong to him. And we're not our own. We give ourselves as a sacrifice to him because he gave himself for us. Why do we give ourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord? We give ourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord for something for him to work in. He says, I want to build. All these things in the Old Testament talking about holy temples are just symbolic of a human body that God will live in. And that human body was Christ. And then Christ says, follow suit with me. You know, follow me. In other words, in my Father's house, where my Father houses himself, are many mansions. I'm just one mansion. He said, but I want to, when I go away, then I will come and I'll send the Holy Spirit into you. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. And so God started living in many human bodies on the day of Pentecost. That was the beginning of the true holy temple of God. All right? Now, the holy temple of God is made up of a combination of many human bodies. In my Father's house, where my Father lives, is many mansions. If it were not true, I'm not the only one. I'm the only begotten, but you, from birth. But you people will be born of the Spirit as I am, and you will do greater things. God will do greater things in you as a massive amount of people, my body, than he could in just me, because in a human body, I'm confined to time and space. I can't be everywhere. But if I am in living in human bodies all over the world, if I have many holy temples to live in, if people consecrate themselves unto me all over the world, then I can really get things cooking here on earth. Amen? I can. There can be a greater job done for God. You do a greater, a bigger, a more spread out, work than even I did, the Lord said, in the latter days, right?
Right.
He says, you'll do greater works than me because I'll be in many of you. So don't let anybody deceive you by telling you they're going to build a holy temple of God. How could anything that man would build be holy? No man can be led unto the Lord unless the Holy Spirit draws him. And no one can become, nothing can be a temple of God. Well, you say, well, what is a church then? Well, people call churches buildings, but that is really is a gathering place for the churches. The church is the human beings where God lives in. That's the body of Christ. That's the temple of God. That is the New Jerusalem. That is the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ, if you are a holy person, a person of the Lord, do you think, and we're going to be the wife or the bride of Christ, do you think that God is going to get married to a whoremonger? No, or like a whore? No, or anybody that has one spot or blemish? He's perfect, and his bride must be perfect. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of Christ, God in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, to live in us, to give us the power to be able to do that. And the Lord just wanted me to tell you that this evening, so that you can get your, the scriptures together, and that these people will stop deceiving you. We are a real church of the Lord. I never had any desire to become a preacher or a teacher. And as a matter of fact, even after I was saved, I was ashamed to say that I was a person of the Lord, because there's so many phonies. So many phonies. And they just don't tell you the truth. And that's why all this false doctrine has to be completely taken away by the true Word of God. Now, we know that the final sign, one of the final signs that Paul said would happen just before the Lord comes back to earth again, is that there would be a great falling away. These are people that don't love the truth. And because of that, God sends strong delusions to them and makes them believe a lie. They don't like the straight and narrow gospel, the only true gospel. And that's why they don't want to go through persecution. They don't want to crucify their flesh. They don't want to take up a cross. They don't want to deny themselves. They don't want to get into the full-time ministry. But after 17 years, the Lord finally says, now, he took Susie away and he said, now you get out there and teach people. He says, your doctrine is pure, and you get out there and start talking to the people. And since then, we've spread throughout the world now. Where I have prayed to the Lord to give me the ability to write, and so he said, do that. And if you get the gospel out, you will not be destroyed. But if you get it out, you won't be destroyed. But if you don't get it out, you will be destroyed. Because there's something about the true Word of God, which is God, that when it's put into the face of all the demonic people on this earth, it frightens them. Because the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but they flee when God pursues them, when the Word pursues them, when the Word exposes them. Amen?
Amen.
So never be afraid. If you're in the Word, don't be afraid, because Satan can't do anything to harm you. The Word of God is more powerful than everything in the universe, because He holds everything together in the universe with His Word, with His Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So keep going now. We might get through this chapter tonight, right?
Verse 9. You must make this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the plans I will show you.
Yeah. Now here's God telling you to say perfect according to the plans that I have shown you. Now if you can't take exact orders from God, forget about it. You're the biggest loser going. Just make sure that you do everything just as I say, because I'm a perfectionist, okay? And all these things have a meaning. I want to fill up, this is just symbolic of the way that I want to fill up every corner of, in these last days when I come to earth as a man, I'm going to live a perfect life and fulfill the law in the human body to show every human body that a man can, by the Spirit, fulfill the law, can keep the law. God knew that they couldn't do it because they were a fallen race of people, the human race. And so He says, I'm going to come to earth as a man and I'm going to fulfill the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. And that's why all these preachers that say we're no longer under the law. No, we're not after we get saved. The law is for godless people. But once you accept the Lord, then the law does not condemn you. You're not going to hell. But if you slip back, now what they're saying is that once you have said yes, Lord, in other words, you can be a phony, say yes, Lord, I'm going to live a life of perfection. I'm going to be like your holy temple that you're explaining here in the Old Testament. I'm going to have every corner of my spirit, my soul, my mind, my body, my heart, everything filled with your Spirit so that I can be a holy temple for you. And continue on to the end, because those that continue on to the end shall be saved. But those that stop, the Lord says, I have no pleasure with them. Okay? So you have to continue on to the end in the Holy Spirit. You can't have sin on your soul, because the soul that sins shall surely die. And he that sinneth, it is written in the Bible, is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So anyone that tells you that, oh, the Lord just saved us so that we, that you can say a poem or a prayer, and then that's it. He forgives you for sins in the past, the present, and the future. Those are the false prophets that the Lord warned you about 5 times alone in one chapter, chapter 24 of Matthew. That's all. Don't ever believe that. We have to be the holy temple of God, not a person saying that we're a temple of God, that we're Christians, and then have yourself be living a life of sin. You have to give up your life as a sacrifice, because this is our reasonable duty. The people that are saying these things have just heard it from these false prophets and don't read the Bible for themselves, and they're just polyparroting it. And if this is you, well, then you have to stop that and get in the Spirit so that you'll have the confidence to know that you can live a perfect life. You can be the holy temple of the Lord. Now, pay strict attention here where the Lord is telling him all the perfect, every detail has to be perfect in the temple of God, which is just symbolic or a figure or a type of us where the Lord is going to live. Okay, so go ahead and continue.
Plans for the ark, verse 10. Quote, make an ark of acacia wood, a sacred chest, 3 3/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet wide.
Yeah, not 2 3/4 feet wide. Don't put in your own ideas in it, because you can't have a better idea than God, all right? Everything's got to be right down to the cuter. Right to the cuter. Okay, then what?
And 2 1/4 feet high. Overlay it inside and outside with pure gold.
Not silver, not mud, but pure, and not second-grade gold or like 18-karat gold, but pure, solid gold. Solid gold is what, 24 carats, right? 24-karat pure gold, okay? something that's really been heated up and gone through the fire, right?
Right.
Then what?
And put a molding of gold all around it. King James Version, verse 12.
Pure gold, that is. Everything the Lord does, the temple has got to be gold. In other words, your heart, even though it's wooden, has to be gold. Amen?
Amen.
Even though it's dirt, it has to be pure 24-karat spiritual gold. Or like some Jews say, gold. All right, then what?
And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it,
mm-hmm.
and put them in the four corners thereof.
And remember, he's talking 24-karat gold. Everything is 24-karat with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing is silver-plated or any of that garbage, or sterling silver, pure silver. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't buy that cheap-grade stuff. He doesn't like any cheapest stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold.
Keep going. Yeah, in other words, they'd run this pole of this acacia wood and put it right through those hoops so that they could carry it, because no one was allowed to touch the ark. It had to be carried by poles, because you're not to, it's sinful man, it's not to touch the most holy place, right? Unless they are ordained to do so. One man did later on in the scriptures, and he fell dead because, well, he saw it toppling off of a cart, and so he thought, oh, I'm going to be a hero and stop it, so he grabbed a hold of it, and he fell dead. And David, King David, was stunned because of it. But you don't do what you think is right. You just keep your greasy paws off of that which is the Lord's. And what the Lord says, don't touch, don't touch. And then that goes, no adultery, no fornication, no lesbianism, no homosexuality, no adultery, no fornication, no stealing, no coveting. And you gotta love the Lord with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you gotta love your neighbor as yourself. Really? 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 You gotta love somebody just like yourself? Yeah, even prefer them before yourself. How's that? But, I mean, if you want to be blessed by the Lord, you gotta follow the rules. Amen?
Amen.
There's other people in this world too. You say, well, I gotta take care of me and mine. Well, the Lord, the way he says, if you take care of other people, he'll take care of you and yours. He'll take care of it. And let me tell you, he does a much better job than you would. Amen?
Amen.
Take care of the other person and theirs, and he'll take care of you. That's just why it works that way, is because God said so. That should be good enough for you, unless you're a real belligerent person. Because God said, okay? God is God. And you're just a little, and you and I are just little, funny little monkeys, so to speak. We're human beings, but as far as that goes, we're supposed to be like instruments or something for him to work with. And we got to do it his way, and then he's pleased with us, and then everybody around us is blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone gets a big blessing around us in every way. And the more we do what he says, the more everybody around us, we are blessed, and everybody around us. You hear all these people say, the Lord sure blessed me. The Lord really blessed me. Oh, I get so blessed. Well, you're supposed to be blessing people. Amen?
Yeah.
And then the Lord will bless you and yours, everybody around you. And you'll be blessing people by doing what the Lord says. Well, the people say, thank you so much, you know, when I do something. And I say, don't thank me. I wouldn't do it unless the Lord told me to do it. But you should thank God that God tells people to do what he says. Because I wouldn't know to do these things for you if the Lord didn't tell me. Give God the glory, amen?
Amen.
Because I, honest to God, would not do things for people the way I do if I hadn't had instructions from the Lord to do it that way. Well, do you prefer others before? Yes, I do, because I want my family to be blessed. Amen. When somebody says, I need a pair of shoes, you got it. Okay? Because we have to treat everybody the same way as if we were doing it as unto the Lord. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of mine, the Lord will say on the day of judgment, you did it for me. Well, what if my enemy, he comes and wants something, give it to him. Amen? And they'll say, why? I'm your enemy. We prove that out here in this place where we're living right now. People took all the stuff away from us out here. And then when they had a need, they took our water meters away from us in one of the buildings that we had. And when they needed water, I mean, there was a big ice storm out here. We rented a generator that cost $5,000 a week, so that they could have pump water into everybody's house out here, because they'd gone without water for a week or two. And the Lord showed them that He overcame the evil out here in this area where we're at right now by our doing good. But I wouldn't have known to do that unless the Lord told me to. And now we're very well loved out in this area. And we have all the meters we want. Okay? Because of the Lord. And because of somebody that was obedient to do what the Lord said, overcome evil. Render not evil for evil, but overcome the evil by, if you got an enemy, give him something to drink. Give him something to eat, if he's hungry. If he's, you see here something of his that's going to be damaged, save it and bring it to him. If you see this little kid going to get hit by a car, pull him out of the car, away from the car. Or if you see anything, some people trying to rob his place, or, you know, make noise, let people know that they're doing it, stop them, so that your neighbor will know, hey, this is a real Christian. He knows I'm evil towards him, but he knows also that he knows the Lord, because he's treating me as the Lord tells him to, because a lot of people have gone to Sunday school and have learned these things when they were little children, but they forgot, but they see it in action. Now, this is kind of work the Lord wants us to do. So people that say, no, God does all the work, you're liars, because he wants to see this, he wants people to see us doing good. Amen? And good is not the way we plan things out, but good is to do the things the Lord says, because it makes a difference in everybody's life when we do. A great difference for the good and not for the worst. And then if a person is still your enemy after you do all those things for you, he'll curse them. Some of the people still didn't like us after we gave them water. Here they were like they couldn't wash their clothes, they couldn't flush their toilets, they couldn't, you know, have a make soup or anything like that in their house. And they still were evil towards us, and I know of about three or four or even five or six of them that dropped dead or got killed or something after that. And not, we certainly don't, it just makes us cringe to think of that that has happened to them, because my God, to know that somebody, because of hatred, even a dog won't bite the hand that feeds it, because of hatred, that they go to hell for that. We need to let the Holy Spirit dwell in us and do what the Lord says. We cannot despise the Word of God, because all that will do will get us into hell. We have to let God work in and through us. He said we're going to be judged by the works that we do in this body. And James says, I'll show you my faith by my works, by doing what the Lord told me to do. And you have to do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul stated that he, even though he felt himself to be the least, he did more works than all the other apostles put together. So who are you to say that you're not to do works? Or why are these false prophets saying this? Because they're counting on the fact that you're not going to read the Bible. You're just going to, the devil in them is counting on that you won't read. And even if you read, if you read, you're going to see that they're false. All right, they're false prophets. So do what the Lord says. Don't listen to these people. And be blessed. And see everything change for the better in other people's lives. And you'll see immediately I mean, it really happens immediately. That would be a tremendous change in your life for the better, in your family's life. All right? Praise the Lord. Then what?
King James Version, verse 14. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them.
Might be carried with by those poles. Okay, then what?
The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee.
That's like symbolic. See, the ark of the test is symbolic of your heart, your spirit. And the Lord wants to put his words into your heart, into your spirit, so that you never forget them, so that you live by them and do the things that the Lord says to do, so that people can see the work of the Lord being done on earth. Because, you know, the devil is just glorying in that everything you see, all the on television or on the newspapers, is just all kinds of evil things that are going on. And the Lord wants you. It isn't so much as what you say. Everybody's talking, but so few people are doing. And just one good thing that I did there, just on that one thing there alone, we do many other things that the Lord, everything that the Lord says to do, but just that alone has changed all of our lives out here. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's such a, and it hit the newspapers and everything, and we didn't solicit any, because we didn't think anybody would have written any positive thing for God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, which are all God, or for us at all in this area. But it hit the newspapers, and everybody, even in the neighboring towns, are favorable to us now. So, you know, do what the Lord says. It never fails. Okay, then what?
And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold.
Because the God is merciful if he repent and live his life. And as long as you're merciful. So have mercy. Don't go along with sin by any means. That isn't mercy. That's totally the opposite of mercy. Let people know that you don't go for sin. And that God doesn't. Let them know that. But all these people are trying to say, oh, people, there's no love in the Alamo ministry because they tell you that you can't sin. They're hate. Those people are the ones that have no love in their ministry because they're telling you the very exact opposite of the way to get into the kingdom of the heaven. Jesus said, the life I live, is the way. Amen?
Amen.
The life I live, am the truth. The life I am, is the life, the only life to live. Amen?
Amen?
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by any other way, truth, or any other style of life. Get that into your board. Forget about listening to these creepy false prophets. They're like demons. And the Lord calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. Why do they want to do it? Because the spirit of Satan in them want to see you destroyed. Okay, go ahead.
And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end.
Now, make sure, in other words, these are cherubs to guard the Word of God. This is what the Lord put Adam into the Garden of Eden to guard it. Don't let sin come in here. And we are like miniature Gardens of Edens. We got a second chance here, and a final chance. And don't let any sin guard your heart. That's the heart, symbolic of the heart, and guard your spirit. Don't let sin enter in. And these 2 cherubs, cherubs, were there also at the grave of Jesus, the tomb of Jesus, where it mentions them in the New Testament, the book of John. Okay? Okay, so let's keep going. So there's these cherub, the cherub or cherub, are mentioned all throughout the Bible. And these are covering angels to cover It's like God sends them to cover you because you walk in the Word of God, the true Word, the Spirit of the Lord. Anything other than the true Word of God is not the Spirit, and there's no, God doesn't fight for you or promote you or lift you up or bless you or lead, guide, and direct you if you're using false doctrines. He wants everything perfect, and this is, he's saying, pay attention now, Moses, because this is the way it's got to be. Can't be any other way. You can't put one cherub, you can't put, a cherub in a something else, you know, it's got to be two, right? One on each side, exactly the way I'm saying it. Well, we can't figure out why he's going through all this trouble, because it has to be just so. Perfect. Well, we can't be, yes, you can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, amen? Yeah. Don't say that, go by what the Lord says. Let every man be called a liar, and the Lord be called the truth, amen? Yeah. Or you're going to be in a lot of trouble eternally. Then what?
Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two side, on the two ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings.
Yeah, and you hear some of these ministers say, well, angels don't have wings. Well, Bible says they do. Word of God says so. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and these are covering angels. Amen?
Amen.
Cherubs. Cherubs. Okay, then what?
And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be.
Not every angel does, because some are not. They're helpers. Like angels also means messengers, you know, from God. Okay? But these cherubs, they have the wings. Then what else?
And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee.
Okay, now.
Translation verses 12 through 21. Cast four rings of gold for it, and attach them to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side. Make poles from acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Fit the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to carry it. These carrying poles must never be taken from the rings. They are to be left there permanently. When the ark is finished, place inside it the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, which I will give to you.
See, those people were ordained to touch the ark, put things inside of it, but not the common person. Remember, God makes a difference between people. There's common people, and then there's chosen people, and then highly chosen people, and people of different levels. He's not a democracy. I have to keep mentioning that, because people have had that drummed into their head for so many years that all men are created equal. They're not. There's chaff, wheat, and so on, and sheep and goats. And people that are ordained to do certain things, and people that are not ordained to do everything. They're just ordained to do certain things, and we have to keep our rank, keep our post. And read that again, because there was something else the Lord just brought to me, and there's so many things at once, it's hard to keep up with them all. But he knows I'm thorough, and I'll go through it again. Then what?
When the ark is finished, place inside it the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments. Then what else?
Which I will give to you.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Quote, then make the ark cover, the place of atonement, out of pure gold. It must be 3 3/4 feet long.
Pure gold, 24 karat gold. Then what's solid gold? Then what?
And 2 1/4 feet wide. Then use hammered gold to make 2 cherubims, and place them at the 2 ends of the atonement cover. Attach the cherubim to each end of the atonement cover, making it all 1 piece. The cherubim will face each other, looking down on the atonement cover, with their wings spread out above it. Place inside the ark the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, which I will give to you. Then put the atonement cover on top of the ark. King James Version, verse 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony.
See, now, if everything is done in us, and the ark of the covenant is there, and regarding the ark of the covenant, it's in our heart, the actual words of the covenant are in our heart, then God will be our God, and we will be his people, and he will come and talk to us. Amen?
Amen.
And he will dwell there. He's not going to dwell in an imperfect, sinful body, temple, mansion, house of God. No way. Okay, so this is all symbolic of that. Then go ahead.
Of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about.
24 karat gold. Then what?
And thou shalt make unto it a border of an hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about.
Right, that's symbolic of the table of the Lord. He spreads the table, the word of God, all throughout our body, the bread of life. So, and it's the King's word, the King of Kings' word. The word is, the King of Kings is the word. Then what?
And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table.
Right, and in there is the showbread, the bread of life, amen?
Amen.
And the covenants, and then the rod also that blossomed later on, you'll hear that, of Aaron. Okay, then what else?
And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them.
Everything has to be pure in a human spirit in order for God to really do a work in you and for you to do a work for the Lord. If you just take anything lightly, nothing, there's no work of God in you. God has to do the work, but he does it in you and with you, with your spirit. You have to do it. He tells you, go ahead and rent a generator, so I don't care if it costs $5,000. I'll provide the money, don't worry. Just like I did for the disciples when they needed to pay taxes, they went to just go down and catch a fish, and there'll be the piece of gold in the mouth of the fish. Just do it, and I'll provide. Okay? Give the shoes to people who need shoes, the food to people who need food, give the gospel to the whole world, and give it to your enemies, and give them to drink, and so on and so forth, all the things. Visit people that are sick. Visit people that are in prison, that are incarcerated. Do all these things, and I'm going to do for you. All right? Don't. That's just the combination to the whole lock. Everything gets locked up until you hit the right combination, huh? And the Lord's telling us the whole combination, right?
Right.
That opens the lock, right? Opens the lock to the safe where all the blessings are. Okay? Maybe you understand it that way. All right, then what else?
Verse 30, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway.
Right, symbolic of the bread of life, the Lord. That must be eaten. All that bread that he put down on the earth, you know, from the hoarfrost in the morning, that didn't come from Moses, that came from the Lord, from Jesus. Jesus, all symbolic of Jesus, the bread of life. Okay, and the food of life, the water of life, and so on. Okay, go ahead.
And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made.
Why? Because he's the light of the world, the spirit of the world, the word, It tells everybody the right combination to the safe of blessings. Amen?
Amen.
People just lock themselves out. Okay? You don't have to be a spiritual Houdini, because the Lord just tells you everything to do. Amen?
Amen.
And it's just simple. It's better that you be like a little child. Don't try to be smarter than God. He says that's the way we get into the kingdom of heaven, to have the simple faith of a little child. Just do what Daddy says. And God is the Daddy of everything. Amen?
Amen.
He's our Father. He's not going to tell us any wrong thing to do. And if you do what He says, it's not in vain. You get a reward far more than you could ever dream of. He'll cause things to happen in your life that it's just hard to receive. It takes time to think about it. Look, there's so many blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side.
And they call that what, the menorah?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what the Jews called the menorah. They had that 6 candlesticks. Okay, then what?
3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower, so in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick.
Okay.
And in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls, made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick.
Oh, is that boring? Well, it better not be, because, you know, everything has to be perfect in the Lord in order to open the safe of blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Don't, let your mind drift off like the devil wants it to. Keep your mind on it, because it all has something symbolic of what is going to happen to you when you really get on the straight and narrow with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? It has to be just so, just perfect. Then what?
Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold.
Everything that's done inside the temple now, your body has to be pure. In other words, every spirit of the Lord. How many spirits of the Lord is there that it mentions in Isaiah?
7
spirits, amen?
Amen.
So they all have to be in place. Amen?
Amen.
Well, one of them is the fear of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And do you name some others?
Wisdom.
The spirit of wisdom. It all has to be there. That's the fear of the Lord is wisdom, amen?
Amen.
And we'll go into that later, because it's all in the Bible. Okay, keep going.
And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof.
7 spirits of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and so on. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
And they shall light the lamps thereof.
And they shall light up you, the whole spirit of all these spirits of the Lord, if there be in the fear of the Lord and all these, will be in you. And then you will totally be so completely sold out to the Lord, so that He can bless you in this earth more than you could ever possibly imagine, and then be blessed eternally, and all your family and all those whose lives you touch, that is, the Lord touches through you with the 7 spirits of the Lord, all these spirits of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and so on, will be able. That's the way that people can be drawn unto the Lord, is if you possess all of God in you. So that's just, you have to practice what you preach. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, then what? You just don't hear preachers preaching it like that, do you?
No.
Well, that's the way it really is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And they shall light the lamps thereof.
It's so interesting and so profitable. Amen?
Amen.
so wise to just do everything the Lord says. You can't beat his wisdom, so why fight it? Just do it. Amen. Then what?
And they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it.
So that we can be the lights of the world. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said to his disciples, because he saw them receiving what he was telling them, he says, ye are the lights of the world. All his disciples, everyone that he lives in, is a light of the world. Okay, because it's his spirit, and you have the spirit to do the things, obedience, to do what he says. That's the spirit of obedience. Amen?
Amen.
And obedience is better than sacrifice. Some people just give all kinds of gifts and so on, but they won't do what the Lord says. So the gift doesn't... He says, you've given these sacrifices to me, but that doesn't mean anything. Being obedient to my seven spirits is better than gold and so that you give, or tithes or offerings, or if you do typing or cooking for the Lord. That's good, because we all need it, but that's not where it's at. Okay? Being in the Spirit is where it's at. Being a light of the world. If somebody needs to go to a doctor, a hospital, or if a loved one is in a hospital and somebody's asking for a ride to get to their loved one because they love them, it's their little daughter, their little son, or their mother or dad, or their grandmother, grandfather, or their husband, their wife, and you take your time, 45 minutes to an hour to say, well, we're ready, and say, well, I'm not. Stuff like that. You don't have the spirits yet. You better get right with the Lord and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If somebody that you loved, if you love anybody, that's another question. Okay? Do it. Do what the Lord says, because otherwise you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be able to unlock the door. Okay, then what?
And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels.
All these are symbolic of necessary word of God in you that puts out satanic fires, the fiery darts, like faith, the spirit of faith. Amen?
Amen.
And that snuffs out evil. So that the light can, you see, either evil's going to come and snuff the lights, the seven spirits of the Lord, out of you, or you're going to snuff out evil. Okay? You have to decide what you're going to do. Am I going to snuff out evil, or is evil come in and snuff out the spirit of the Lord so that I am no longer the holy temple of God? Because if you do let Satan do that, then you are not saved. You'll be gone. And lost forever. So if you were unaware of these things before, let it be known to you now that you're now aware of it. So these are teaching you true spiritual defense of the Garden of Eden, your spirit that's inside, and the seven spirits of the Lord that are inside you. You must maintain the garden. You must maintain a relationship with the Lord. You must remain, communication must remain between you and the Lord, so that you can have everything in this world and in the world to come. Okay, don't let the light go. The light go out in you, like the five foolish virgins. Amen.
Amen.
See, all these have a meaning, New Testament meaning. Amen.
Amen.
It all has to do with the Spirit, and the seven spirits of the Lord. Okay, then what?
And look that thou make them after their pattern.
Just make sure, look to it that you make it exactly unto this pattern. Okay, then what?
Which was showed thee in the mount. Translation, verses 22 through 40. I will meet with you there and talk to you from above the atonement cover between the gold cherubim that hover over the ark of the covenant. From there I will give you my commands for the people of Israel.
See, because I want to guide Israel. I want to have a nation that's led by me so that the world can see how I bless people that do what I say. And that's what the Lord wants today, especially in this terrible, wicked world. There has to be a bright and shining light of the seven spirits of the Lord and human beings in the holy temple of the Lord, so that people can see that even though Satan and people have allowed Satan to snuff out the life that's in them, and there's a great falling away of them, and they're just full of false doctrine and everything, that there's still God has to maintain his holy tabernacle here on earth. And people, in order to do that, have to, it's a split deal. It's a, God has cut a deal with us, and so we have to maintain his spirit in us. We have to do the work of the Lord, or there won't be any work of the Lord. And so a lot is, you know, you say, well, a lot rests on our shoulders then. Well, but God gives us the power to do all the work. Amen?
Amen.
He gives us, what work is it to, if the Lord tells you, give these people, and he gives you the money, and he gives you the instruction of, get the generator for these people. What's the big deal? Pick up the phone, call them, and tell them to bring it down. That's not hard work, is it?
No.
No, his work is easy and light. Amen?
Amen.
And then when you do it, he says, ba-boom! Here, you know, everything is like roses now, all right? So, you know, that's an easy work. His yoke, his work, is easy and light. It's just a matter of obedience. Okay? Hearkening unto him, just doing what he says. All right? Give, and it shall be given back to you. Your cup runs over, it overflows. Give what the Lord tells you to give. And don't give when the Lord tells you don't give. Many people are financing, supposed to be Christian works that are actually devil, the work of the devil. You think God is going to bless them for that? Well, we don't care. We like her, or we like him. Yeah, but why don't you love the Lord? Well, you know, I'm not saying this for finances. You never see us asking for finances. Because we automatically assume if you're born again of the Spirit and you're being fed the truth in a Christian work, that you know what the Bible says about tithing, giving offerings, amen?
Amen.
So we never, you know, say these things before the unsaved, because that's a turnoff, because they know a lot of these people are phonies. The unsaved can tell a phony. And they see them driving around, you know, in very expensive cars and wearing $2,000 suits and everything. Now, I wouldn't mind that, you know, if they're really getting the gospel out. But they're not. And people are tithing. I don't know how much they are given to them, but I mean, it seems like they're just on television sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. If they were really of the Lord, I would tithe to them if they were really getting the true gospel out. I mean, give them as, you know, whatever the Lord told me to give them. Okay? I wouldn't make up what I wanted to give them. I'd ask the Lord, you want me to give this person something? Lord, they're right on. And they're on television. They'll get the word all over the world, you know. This is beautiful. And that means I'm going to be part of the work, and I'm going to get part of the blessing, so just tell me how much. And, you know, if you, you've given me some money here, and it seems like it's extra, and you want me, yeah, the Lord said, yeah, give them whatever, this or that, whatever, and do it. And immediately it comes right back anyway. You take one sup out of the cup, and God just pours another sup right in there. Sometimes two sups, and it starts rolling over. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Plans for the table. Verse 23. Then make a table of acacia wood, 3 feet long, 1.5 feet wide, and 2.25 feet high. Overlay it with pure gold, and run a molding of gold around it. Put a rim about 3 inches wide around the top edge, and put a gold molding all around the rim. Make 4 gold rings, and put the rings at the 4 corners by the 4 legs, close to the rim around the top. These rings will support the poles used to carry the table. Make these poles from acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. And make gold plates and dishes, as well as pitchers and bowls, to be used in pouring out drink offerings.
The reason that the Lord only allowed those people, because they're ministers of the truth, and they were telling people exactly what the Lord said, and the minister has a different level of authority. They are the authorities of the in this world, and other people cannot touch their work. Okay, only they can touch the work because they're the ones that are being talked to by the Lord. Because the people don't want the Lord to talk to them, if you'll remember in the Word. They wanted Moses to hear from the Word and then pass it on to them. So the Lord doesn't let them touch the ark because he lets Moses and Aaron, you know, these people do that, the high priest. Because he touches the heart of God and the God touches their hearts. And they would pass it on to the others, and then the others are supposed to receive it, amen, and do it. And then if they don't, and they don't really want to even talk to God, they want to get near to him, well, then listen to what the authorities say. The authorities are not Pontius Pilate or Caesar or somebody in secular government. I don't care how big they are. It is the ministers, the one that is ministering unto the Lord and that is hearing these instructions from the Lord and the instructions today. And we are all supposed to be priests and kings. So be priests and kings. Be led by the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God is the Spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and according to the Word of God, in truth. Not your way or some your newfangled way or your old-fangled way or some false prophet's fangled way, but according to truth, the Word. Okay, then what? The Spirit. The Word is spirit and life. Okay, then what?
Verse 30. You must always keep the special bread of the presence on the table before me.
You always have to keep my word before you. The bread of life. The Spirit. Keep it in you. Because this is a short life here. And keep the Spirit. Because that the Spirit determines where you're going to be in heaven. If you don't have it, you're going to hell. Well, no, it isn't so. You just don't have no love in your ministry. You'll see, okay? I don't want you to see anything other than what the Word of God says, because the Lord says that these things, and he is the truth. And whoever's talking to you, if he's telling you anything different, is a liar. Every man is a liar, but God is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Plans for the lampstand. Quote, make a lampstand of pure hammered gold. The entire lampstand and its decorations will be one piece. The base, center stem, lamp cups, buds, and blossoms. It will have 6 branches, 3 branches going out from each side of the center stem. Each of the 6 branches will hold a cup shaped like an almond blossom, complete with buds and petals. The center stem of the lampstand will be decorated with 4 almond blossoms, complete with buds and petals. 1 blossom will be set beneath each pair of branches, where they extend from the center stem.
Doesn't the Lord call himself the branch?
Amen.
Or the vine. He says, I am the vine. And then he also says that we are the branches off the vine. Amen?
Amen.
So this all has symbolism, amen?
Amen.
Symbolic of the, it's God's farm, amen?
Amen.
Sowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, amen?
Amen.
Vines, branches, fruit, amen? It's a farm, okay? He wants us to grow, and he wants us to grow and mature to the point to where we can do everything, in other words, know everything about him and what to do, so that we can be blessed, and that the world will be blessed, and that this will please God more than anything that you could ever do. Just do what he says. Don't try to invent anything new, okay? Because there's nothing new under the sun, amen?
Amen.
There's nothing but corruption and evil, and God is the truth, and it's pure, and it's like 24 karat spiritual gold, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The decorations and branches must all be one piece with the stem.
Yeah, it must be united to me. You can do nothing without me. See, if I take, if you don't do what I say, if you don't bring forth fruit, then I'm going to break it off. Men will come and break that branch off and throw you into the fire. Right? So it has to be one piece. You have to be one with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
See, it all makes sense. It's all symbolic. So don't get bored with this. You know, because you understand what it's saying. Amen?
Amen.
What the Lord says. Then what?
The decorations and branches must all be one piece with the stem, and they must be hammered from pure gold.
Yeah, you must. They must be hammered. That means you have to go through the fire in order to be pure gold, right?
Right.
You have to. Maybe you might be put through an oven. You might be experiencing some kind of a trial or tribulation that you're going to, or some persecution, because all that are holy, I mean, all that are saved, every person that walks in the Spirit, everyone that is of the Lord is going to suffer persecution. They're going to be hammered. But if you're connected with me, in other words, in the Spirit, you're going to go right through it just like a hot knife through butter. Amen?
Amen.
Or like jumping into the swimming pool. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to hit concrete if the pool is full. You're going to go right through it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it won't even seem it. It just makes you feel glorious when you're in the Spirit, because the persecution, you know you're going through it, all right, but it's like watching a movie, because you say, I'm going through it, Lord, and I know that I'm going to come out. In other words, it's raining today, and I've seen it rain many times. I've seen it storm for weeks, but it's not going to rain forever. He promises that, yet, because we see the rainbow in the sky. Amen?
Amen.
And when the rain, the storm is over, we're going to come through, you know, with every color of the rainbow, even more. Amen?
Amen?
With flying colors. Okay, so we have to go through, we have to be beaten like gold. That's what it is. Mun. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
37. Then make the seven lamps for the lampstand.
Yeah, then when we're beaten until we're like gold, we'll have the seven lampstands in us. We'll have all the Spirit of the Lord, because, you know, when you see that guy's got the Spirit, man, he wants to ride horses. I've got a son, you know, he wants to be he's been a top jockey, and I mean, I'm telling him, no, you got to, you know, get into the work of the Lord. I've never known him all my life, because I wasn't allowed to see him, because his mother when I was this young like that, I just wasn't a good husband or a father. I wasn't saved. And so I was a very bad person, but thank God the Lord saved my soul, and I really wanted to take care of him, and she was just so hurt that, because I left her, that she wouldn't let me see my kids, and now they're all coming around and everything. But I'm telling them, you've got to stop doing that. So, but he has the Spirit to do something. You can tell the people when they have the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because they want to do everything. We're nothing. We're garbage. We've done a lot of bad things in our life, but now we're saved. And now, the only way that people can tell the difference in us is that we have the seven spirits of the Lord. And we're not doing the kind of things that we did before. Amen? At all. We're new creatures. We're one with the Lord. One Spirit. We're hooked into the vine. God is the farmer. Jesus, who is God also in the flesh, is the vine. And we are the branches. And he went through persecution and trials and tribulations, and we will go through them too. But why? Because it's the Spirit of Jesus, and the devil, the world, the flesh, hates living a holy life. But do it, because he's the way, the truth, and there's no other way to get into heaven. It just isn't. Well, they say the Lord wants you to have fun. Getting hammered isn't fun, okay? Carrying the cross isn't fun. It's joy, because you go through this hammering and you're still alive, and you're getting stronger, because all these seven spirits of the Lord keep entering you, because the Lord sees you going through the fire, going, being hammered, being persecuted, and you still have a smile, a joy on your face. And he loves that. And he gives you more power and strength and endurance And people are so afraid of it. But boy, I'll tell you, when people first started getting saved in our church, we're the ones that the Lord used to start the Jesus movement all over the world back in the mid-60s. And these baby Christians, they were mostly hippies. They were praying, "Oh God, let us be persecuted." I says, "Hey, just live a godly life. You don't have to pray for persecution. You people are spiritually crazy. It's going to come, kids. You know, don't worry about that. Don't pray any more wrath of the devil down on us. Amen." And boy, they just love it if they got picked up and thrown into jail, or if they even got beaten. They'd love it. They just loved it, because everybody then was saying that God is dead. And nobody wanted to see a big neon sign saying, "Jesus, the light of the world." There was a Jewish guy over in Los Angeles, had this great big neon sign in the Jewish district, and the thing must have been about 30 feet high and about 30 feet wide, and it was a neon sign that just showed in the night that says, "Jesus, the light of the world." And he got, people were stoning his building all the time and cursing him and shaking their fists at him. He says, "I don't care." He says, "You're driving a Cadillac." He says, "I don't care. I got God." You know, he had one of these old-timers Jews, you know. "I got God." And, boy, the people were just, he was thrilling to listen to on the radio. He spoke very broken English. But he died, went on to be with the Lord. But that big sign is still over there now. I say that whole area has turned into Hispanic now. But that was, he had a temple there. It was like, but it was a Christian, full gospel Christian church. And that guy was really, I loved him the way he was. Okay, let's go.
Verse 37. "Then make the seven lamps for the lampstand, and set them so they reflect their light forward."
Right. The Lord wants to reflect His Spirit, His life, out of us. He wants to represent Himself in us. And He can't represent Himself in us if there's any sin, or we want to have fun, according as the world likes to have fun. No, we can't be like the world. We have to be like the world to come. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be like our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Creator, our Creator, the Creator of everything. We have to be like Him. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
"The lamp snuffers and trays must also be made of pure gold. You will need 75 pounds of pure gold for the lamp stand and its accessories."
Right. Get Satan out of your life, it has to be the Spirit of God, because no one can snuff Satan but the Lord. Lord is the only one that defeated him, and he has to be in us if we're going to defeat our flesh. The Lord is the one that defeats our flesh. So we've got to, by all means, get him into us with the seven spirits of the Lord. Fear, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, faith, all these things. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord! When we get all those into us, we don't want any dross, any impediments in there, because it's just going to hinder our having the seven spirits of the Lord, and for sure snuff out our ability to get into heaven. So we have to snuff Satan with the Spirit of the Lord. We can't just say, "Without faith, get thee hence, Satan." We have to say, "The Lord is powerful. The blood of the Lord has destroyed you 2,000 years ago, Satan. Get thee hence." No, we're going to retain God in the whole seven spirits of the Lord. Jesus, Father, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in our temples, in God's temple. This is God's temple, and you're not coming in here. I'm going to use the double-edged sword against you, the flaming sword of God, to protect this Garden of Eden. Maybe Adam failed, but I'm not going to fail. I'm going to win, okay, because I have got God, just like that Jewish guy. I got God. Whatever God blesses me with, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to use it in front of, I drive this Cadillac because God told me to get it, and I'll do it, he said. And by George, he did do it, amen? By God, he did it. All right, then what?
"Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain."
Yeah, be sure. Okay, so that was the last verse in that chapter, chapter 25 of the book of Exodus, with quite a bit of explanations here, commentaries. There's been so much commentary on this tape already. I just want to leave this tape as it is, all right? And we'll just end it right now. This is Tony Alamo, chapter 25, the book of Exodus, with commentaries all the way through. And praise the Lord, I know that it has blessed your soul. It is because what the Lord was giving me to say was from the Lord, and it wasn't from myself. And so we'll just say, keep concentrate on these things all day and every day, because we just need, this is calling you to stand another day in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And practice these things. Make this your life. Make this the Lord's life. Let his life live in you. Let the Lord be released in you to do, just do what he says. That's releasing God in this world. Okay? And we'll be doing chapter 26 this evening.